Thank you, Mr. Moderator. My name is Tyson Raper. My major professor is Dr. Derek Oosterhaus, and I'm going to talk today briefly about wireless soil moisture sensors and varietal water use efficiency. Now, obviously, we've had a recent emphasis on water use efficiency. This is due to many reasons, in part due to water wars between rural and urban demand, and a general opinion also that current water use in many areas of the United States is considered to be unsustainable. This and many other reasons, including a severe drought in some areas of the country, have resulted in the development and isolation of some drought-tolerant genes, and their inclusion it looks promising, but these results are several years down the road. Currently, we only have one way to test these genes, and that would be in season would be dryland variety trials. Currently, we have a very large number of dryland variety trials. These are located throughout the Cotton Belt. But unfortunately, we only characterize drought stress in these trials by rainfall. This fails to fully describe seasonal growing conditions, specifically conditions of drought, and those would be timing, magnitude, and length of deficit. As you can see in the background of this picture, this was in Starkville, Mississippi. We had a pretty significant rainfall event. The water that's in the ditch obviously is not going to impact cotton yield in a positive nature. And also, it's probably not going to be dealt with in a very good manner with a checkbook method. So Cotton Incorporated and several principal investigators across the country got together and came to the conclusion that a drought stress index, which utilizes in-season field measurements, has the potential to serve as a framework for compiling regional yield response to drought stress, and therefore increase producer information on varietal response to drought, allowing the producer some way to test the response of these genes in field. This is not a new concept. Jackson in the 80s and IDSO worked on the crop water stress index, and more recently we've seen some work with the soil water stress index, Clisey et al. So the two main objectives of these trials were to develop an index to quantify drought stress through measuring soil moisture in dryland cotton variety trials. And second was to determine the plausibility of extrapolating quantified drought stress to field scale from a limited number of point measurements. Basically, if we have these soil moisture sensors underneath one row, can we characterize an entire field based off of those measurements? So again, Cotton Incorporated and several principal investigators implemented several trials throughout the Cotton Belt. We had four soil moisture trials, which were located in Maricopa, Lubbock, Mariana, and Florence. Equipment was installed and data was collected by PureSense Incorporated on these trials. We did have one canopy temperature trial, which was located in Mariana, Arkansas. Equipment was installed on this trial and data was collected and processed by SmartField Incorporated. We had two other drought stress trials. These were located in Tifton and Gainesville. The sensor deployment and treatments varied in these two trials. Due to lack of time today, I'm going to focus on the Maricopa, Mariana, and Florence, Arizona, Arkansas, and South Carolina sites. These trials were randomized complete block design. A variety was the main treatment, and we did plant popular varieties of the region, so variety ranged from site to site. But we did have one uniform variety, and that was Phytogen 499. The trials, the treatments were replicated four times. Irrigation treatment did vary by location. But at all sites, with the exception of South Carolina, we did have a relative yield, at least, of a well-watered Phytogen 499 plot. We deployed sensors at one node in each plot. One node represents four soil moisture sensors at four different depths. That resulted in 12 points at the Arkansas site, 12 at the South Carolina, and 16 points at the Arizona site. Soil moisture was monitored by Decagon 5TE sensors. These are dielectric permittivity sensors. PureSense converted the output from volumetric water content using the top equation as published in 1980. And the sensor readings were processed and delivered to the user in the percent volumetric water content form. It's pretty nice for the user to not have to fool with all these equations. Data was collected at 15-minute intervals and sent from the node to a base station at the edge of field wirelessly. And then from the base station, it was uploaded to the server, at which point it was accessed through an application on an iPhone or a smartphone or a computer program. From that point, the collected percent volumetric water contents were then averaged to one reading per node hour. And I averaged, the average was weighted as a function of distance to nearest sensor. So if you can see over here, this 3-inch sensor obviously is not telling us very much It's telling us about the 0 to 4.5 inch depth. The 24-inch sensor is definitely telling us about more soil here, so we waited accordingly to that. But we did use the assumption that an inch of water at 24 inches is going to have the same yield impact as an inch of water at 3 inches, and I understand that there may be some disputing that. I used an available water stress index that we calculated in two different ways. The first method was using soil lab analysis to determine fill capacity and wilting point. And the second was using in-season readings. So basically we have the average soil moisture here as I described above. The blue line would represent the soil moisture. And you can see the rainfall event right here in the red, and irrigation event, we reached saturation. I determined fill capacity to be 2.5 days after that saturating rainfall or irrigation event. And then we determined a lower limit. I label this lower limit because I don't really think it's a wilting point, but we did determine available water to be the difference between the fill capacity and the lower limit. At this stage, I determined stress to begin at 50% available water, and that's where you see the red at the bottom. So if that blue line creeps below what we determined to be 50% available water, we start accumulating stress units through the growing season. This, like I said, we accumulate these units through the season, and these values were weighted on rooting depth and percent available water. Rooting depth, we assumed the full profile was relevant at 35 days after planting, and percent available water, we weighted based on at 50%, we have zero plant stress. As we move to 0%, we increase plant stress linearly. Now, as you can see, my shirt's pretty clean, and my jeans don't have any mud on them. I told Dr. Easterhouse I was learning how to be a professor in this slide. That's one of the great benefits of PureSense or SmartField. They're going to come and install these sensors for you, and they do a little bit of quality control also. They're soil sampling in this picture as well. One downside, we did have that they mounted these permanently. I don't know that they're very familiar with our type of agriculture in the Mid-South. We definitely have to be able to get through the field, so we pulled the T-posts up and installed a split hole where we could, we made the farm manager a little bit happier. He could apply nitrogen after we did this. Obviously, the second major benefit to having a company like this, and then you can actually get the data in real time, is real-time data management. We can definitely tell here at the Lubbock site something went wrong in the middle of July. And so when I went to the site to see what happened, we had some frayed wires. Although I did not have the tools to fix this unit when I went to the site, it could be easily fixed if this was based on an irrigation event off of this unit. I wanted to talk a little bit about infiltration and response of the 36-inch depth or 30-inch depth to different rainfall events or irrigation events. We did see some variability. Maricopa, Arizona, almost all irrigation events were noticed all the way down through the profile. We did have some that weren't as recognized in the deep water, in the deep soil, but most of these sensors responded similarly. This is, I would say, one side of the spectrum. Florence, South Carolina was somewhere in between, and that the major rainfall events, this is dry land, major rainfall events we did see in the deep profile, but we didn't see some smaller rainfall events, and this does make sense. In the Marianna, Arkansas, I would say would be on the opposite side of the spectrum. Even at the 12-inch depth, there are some events that we barely see response. In the 30-inch, we see almost no response. But I would argue that this is plant available. The water down here is plant available because when we start depleting the upper horizons, we see the 30-inch decline middle of the growing season. For yield response for Marianna, Arkansas, we didn't see this at the other sites, but we had a significant response of replication, 1,500 kilograms per hectare. So this is based off of water stress. The top line is a dashed well-watered strip, so we can definitely tell that we should have a wide range of drought stress accumulated units for the Arkansas site. So the next graph is going to be similar to this one. On the left side, we have the soil lab analysis determined wilting point and fill capacity, as I mentioned before. And on the right side, we have the in-season adjusted wilting point, and I've labeled it here as fill capacity, but I'd argue that it's a lower limit. Obviously, from the lab calibrations, we have very poor relationships, 0.184. Phytogen responded strongly, but not consistently, 0.237 with 5458. Relationships with the in-season calibration are anywhere from 0.785 to 0.985. I was very happy to find that kind of a response. Similarly, with the Florence, South Carolina site, relationships were very poor when we looked at the soil sampled wilting point and fill capacity. But when we consider the in-season calculated, we have very strong response, 0.87, 0.813, and 0.880. I'd also like to point out the range of available stress here. We're only looking from roughly 500 to 750 accumulated stress units, as compared to the Arkansas site, which we had somewhere between 100 to almost 1,000. So that was a responsive replication. So I did end up combining these data sets from Maricopa, Florence, and Mariana. And this is considering accumulated stress units response on seed cotton yield. This is absolute seed cotton yield. I know many of you may not be happy with 0.461, but I was trained as a soil scientist, and 0.461 looks pretty good to me. Also, I'd like to point out that we have some accumulated stress units, the yields up here kind of grouping together, and we have yields down here grouping together. So I feel like that we can pretty much conclude, and even without this data set, that maximum yields at Maricopa, Florence, and Mariana are not going to be the same. Based on that, I weighted the yields. Instead of using absolute, I looked at relative yields, and we were able to increase relationships to 0.593 using relative yields. This is a little bit complicated. Each one of these lines is going to represent one variety response at one location. And basically, the only reason I'm showing this graph is to say that I feel like we may need to consider the response of these units to variety. And if we do end up putting these soil moisture sensors out in individual plots in a dryland variety trial, we probably want to put them under the same variety at each location. These two flat lines are phytogen 499, and the rest of the varieties seem to be responding similarly, but I still feel like we need to place each one of these sensors under the same variety. One other thing that we haven't included and I plan to include would be a crop susceptibility factor. This kind of mirrors a KC value, but instead of describing water use, this would be sensitivity to drought. And I understand that there's a few things we might want to change with this curve, but I do plan on including this in the analysis. And I'm confident this would greatly strengthen our relationships. Also, we haven't included any measurement from the growing season as far as meteorological data. That could be included also to strengthen the model. So in conclusion, we found that fill capacity and lower limits must be adjusted by seasonal observations. The relationships between seed cotton yields and accumulated soil moisture stress were moderate. We found that relative yields strengthened the relationships, and the varietal effect must be examined in more detail before we place these under just any variety. Also, we found that the number of sites required to characterize location will be highly dependent upon soil variability, given that we found 150-200 units difference in the Florence site, but we saw almost 1,000 units different in the Mariana site. I'd like to thank Dr. Ed Barnes, I don't know if he was able to make it, and all the principal investigators for providing the data in a timely manner, and Dr. Derek Easterhouse. I'd love to take any questions if we have time.
Any questions?
Yes, sir.
Why do you think the varieties, soil moisture under the varieties were different?
I think that we have probably have significant differences in rooting characteristics, and so I imagine some of these varieties are going to be able to deplete more water. Maybe that's why phytogen 499 appears to respond differently and is less responsive to increased stress units.
Any other questions?